Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.boip.southcars.com. Your net control or moderator for this session is myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy. My location is beautiful Vero Beach, Florida, where it's still current temperature of 78. Had I high of about 85. There's possible storms out there, but hopefully not. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. No emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about any birthday stations out there? Anyone celebrating a birthday either last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard? No birthday stations either. Well, I guess that means we're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now let me advise all stations that I always record some of my sessions, and so if you've been part of the program this evening, you most definitely will be part of that recording, and hopefully we'll get it on our website as a podcast, because I think it's going to be a real great program. I'm not going to go over any announcements tonight because we have quite a program ahead of us. So let me drop it here, and we are going to begin. All right, good evening once again to one and all to our monthly TIN program this evening. My name is Kathy, and my call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And we have a very special program planned for this evening entitled Smartphones and Androids, and have gathered some experts, and I really want to recognize those experts this evening. We have N4FTD, Paul from Fort Myers. We have Kevin, KJ4PR from the Keys, and we have Steve, KF5VH from Louisiana, in the field to discuss the ins and outs of their use and further the recommended apps for all of us to use. A lot of us have just bought some Androids or smartphones, and we need their expert help. You know, this session tonight will be informal. It will be a question and answer session between the audience, the moderator, and the experts. So come in, one and all. Enjoy, participate, and let the questions fly as you wish. Let me drop it here for just a moment. I will be the moderator this evening. In doing so, I will be the liaison between the audience and the experts, and further introducing some questions forwarded to me by new owners of both smartphones and Androids. I'll start the session with some questions to those experts, and then hopefully you and the audience will continue the session. And at any point that you want to come in and have some further clarification, we ask that you just jump in as well. So once again, this is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm going to start with my very first question, and I'm going to throw it out there to you experts and just merely come aboard with your suffix, and we'll have you take the questions. But let me drop it before I begin. All right, the very first question we have of those experts is, how does one delete unneeded apps on one's phone? So at that point, let me read it once again. You got all these apps that came with the phone. Maybe some you downloaded. That was one question I was curious about, because I tried to delete one of the games on there, and it sure wouldn't let me do it. So how does one delete unneeded apps on one's phone? So I'll throw it out there to our experts, and one at a time, you can come aboard. All right. I didn't think that was too hard of a question, but it's something I've been working on for almost, I've had my phone for a couple weeks, and it's something I haven't been able to do. I tried to drag it up to the remove, but it didn't go away. So hopefully, Steve, you can help answer that question for me. And thanks for being here tonight, and thanks for coming aboard. KF5VH, come aboard.
Good evening, Kathy, and good evening, South Cars. This is KF5VH Steve from Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, there are three things, I guess, that you could point to here. Number one, there is the icon on the screen of the phone that can be removed separately from the application. Typically, removing the application will remove the icon on the screen, but let's start there. To remove an icon on the screen, you press and hold the icon. Somewhere on the screen, a small trash can will appear. You slide the icon to the trash can, and the area around the trash can will turn red. You pick your finger up, and the icon's gone. The other thing you can do is get rid of apps. There are two types of apps. Actually, three types of apps. Let me let the timers reset. The first type of app is one that you put on the system yourself. Anything that you go to the Play Store, bring to your phone, if you put it on, you can take it off. And the easiest way to take it off is to go right back to the Play Store, pretend like you're looking it up for the first time. When you find that app, instead of saying install, it'll say open and uninstall. Touch the uninstall and it will go away. There are a few apps in the system, that, the way it came from the manufacturer, that you can pull off. Typically, you don't want to pull those off. The third type of app is frequently called crapware. And for some reason, the manufacturer of the phone decided that it was a good app, and they wanted it on your phone, and they really wanted it on your phone. It can be set up in such a way that the normal user cannot remove it from their phone. If you've updated it, you can remove the updates using the method I just talked about, but you cannot get rid of the baseline app. There are procedures if you want to root your phone, gain higher permission levels. You can root your phone and then remove those apps, but for the normal user, not very straightforward to do. Hope that helps. Back to you, Kathy. This is KF5VH.
Well, Steve, that most definitely did. I was able to hold it and take it to the trash can if I had put a duplicate icon on. I've done the. I've gone to the second choice you gave. I haven't had to install, but I've seen them there. But mine must be that crapware you're talking about. It's a game, and I just wanted to remove the game, and it's not allowing me to do it. So that is what you're saying, that it's not allowable to be removed. And that was something I was curious about. And that's the only one I've tried to actually remove. I had put Echo Link on my Android, but I had put a couple of icons. So I removed one of them, and I still have the other. So thank you, Steve. That clarifies that for me. Here's my next question. What determines your data usage when using a Wi-Fi connection and not considering incoming cell calls and text messages? Let me read that once again. What determines your data usage when using a Wi-Fi connection and not considering incoming cell calls and text messages? And then the second part of that question is, do some apps acquire data minutes? So part of this question I think I've gotten answered lately, but any of our experts out there, any of those listening would like to come aboard and give us an answer to this question. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some of those experts to come aboard.
KFTV.
Well, good evening, Paul, and 4FTD, and thanks for coming aboard tonight and help us new users of Androids and smartphones to become more proficient. So if you need me to reread it, I'd be happy to do that, but maybe give us the answer to that, and I know that you can. And 4FTD, please come aboard.
Hi, Kathy. This is N4FTD, Paul, in Fort Myers, Florida. And I suspect that the answers I give tonight in some cases may be different than the answers that Steve or possibly Kevin give, because I'm using an iPhone. For example, the question, the previous question, to remove an app from an iPhone, you just hold down the icon, as Steve mentioned, and when you get a little X come up and the icons start to dance around on the screen, you just tap the X for the app that you want to make go away. And it will give you a warning and ask you for sure, do you really want to get rid of this app? Because you're going to also delete all of its data that's stored elsewhere in the system. And if you say yes, then the app is gone, the icon is gone, and all of the data is gone. So it's very easy to try out and then to remove an app on an iPhone. So again, a little simpler procedure, and to my knowledge, that works that way with every kind of app because they all come from the Apple App Store. So there's no other way to get apps for an iPhone. A little bit more locked down. Let me buy a nickel here. And to the question about data usage, and again, this may be different for Android phones, I'm not sure, but for an iPhone, I'm 99% sure that anything other than texting and cell phone usage on a smartphone, or at least an iPhone specifically, is considered data. If your app has to go out on the internet, which is going to usually go over the cellular network, if you're away from Wi-Fi, then you're using your data, however much traffic goes over the cellular network. That's metered out just like an electric meter in a house, and they'll certainly charge you for it according to the plan that you have. On the other hand, if you're using Wi-Fi, to my knowledge, that does not take place. The Wi-Fi takes priority, and you're not using any of your data that comes with your package. And I believe that's true of Android, but maybe one of the others can confirm that. Back to you, Kathy, and 4FTD.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. And actually, I think you answered the next question I was going to ask, and that was about the Wi-Fi and data. I've been using my Wi-Fi at the house, and I actually, when I went out to the store, I think this past week, after hearing a conversation from someone, I think it was Doug, to try to connect to some of the Wi-Fi that's out there on the road, and I was able to do it. There was quite a list, and I was able to do it that way and not use my data. Well, I'm going to throw it over to you, Steve, if you have any other comments you'd like to make about the data usage, and then I have in the background two other of our members that want to come aboard and make some comments. So, Steve, anything further you'd like to say?
I'll mention that the notification bar on an Android phone tells you which data system you're hooked to. So, depending on the version of Android, you'll see some type of Wi-Fi symbol. And when that Wi-Fi symbol is showing, the phone is using that as the connection. So you're using the data services of wherever the Wi-Fi comes from. On the other hand, if you see 4G, LTE, 3G, or in earlier versions other symbols, at that point the entire phone is using the cell phone system to obtain its data. I think that's it, Kathy. Back to you, KF5VH.
Thank you, Steve. And I've seen that a few times when I'm out on the road. I see the four and the three come up, but most of the time when I'm at the house, it is the Wi-Fi. So at this point, I'm going to throw it out to two people in the background who may have questions of both you, Paul, and Kevin, if you're there. I haven't heard you, and Steve. And I'm going to start with you, George, KW4LCB. Please come aboard with your question.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4 and my Charlie Bravo. A question on these apps that they had so graciously put on my phone there. I'm just wondering, those that you can't uninstall, doesn't that take up memory or a space on your phone that... you know, here I'm paying for their garbage, and I really don't understand, why I should have to keep it on there, because most of the stuff I'll never even use, but nevertheless, it's on my phone there. I'm just wondering about, taking up space when I need it. So maybe, and this goes out to... any of the experts on there, but this is my line of thinking on that, as far as just taking up a space or memory, so to speak.
All right, great question, George. And actually, I was talking about the one game that was on my machine, a zombie game, I think. I wanted to delete it, and it's actually not going anywhere, so I just go over the top of it and make believe it's not there. Most of the programs are, they may just be sitting there. There's certain ones that I use, and there's certain, I always go into my settings to always check my data usage and my battery and things like that. But let me throw it out to either you, Paul, or you, Steve, if you have a response to George about those unwanted icons in the apps, whether they're using data or not. So let's see if we have either or both of you come aboard.
I'm going to defer this one to Steve. I think he's going to be able to answer it better than I in terms of the different platform. I know that anything that's on an iPhone takes up space of some amount, but again, it's a whole lot easier to delete something that you don't want. Try it out. If you don't like it, delete it, and it frees up the space. I'm guessing, Steve, that that's not true, but I'll let Kathy turn it over to you, and you can confirm or deny. Back to you, Kathy, and 4FTD.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I'll send it over to you, Steve, and see if you can answer. Now, Paul, I think if I remember years back when I first became acquainted with you, you did have Androids, so they probably haven't changed an awful lot. So, but you may have just forgotten. So, Steve, can you answer George's question for us, KF5VH?
Okay, Kathy. Well, let me start by saying a zombie program is not one that I would normally consider in the ranks of crapware. We may have to talk about that later. Maybe there is a way to get that off. As far as the memory... on an Android phone, there are really three types of memory. There's the memory where the programs run. There's associated memory where programs are stored. And then almost all Android phones have a slot in them where you can mount a small, what's known as a micro SD memory card to extend your memory. The basic answer is yes, everything takes up space. In the newer versions of Android operating system, if you have an app that you want to hang on to, but you want to put it sort of out on the edge, you can move it from the primary memory out onto the SD card, the same place where you could store your pictures or store your music without taking up space in the phone memory proper. The other thing is that when a program runs, the amount of memory it can use can be considerably larger. It's an increase no matter what, than when it's not running. So even though the program is on your phone, it hasn't started execution. So unless there's something in the booting of the phone that causes the program to start, it's not running, and it won't run if you don't touch that icon to start it, if it's on your screen. That's the difference between the iPhone and the Android. You heard that when you remove the icon off the screen in an iPhone, it gets rid of the app. Android, they're two separate things. So you could have the application in the phone, but not have it appear on your screen, on your desktop. The only way to go and look for that program would be to bring up the menu system and search through there. So, George, did that help a little bit? Back to net, KF5VH.
KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo, I appreciate it, Steve, there. Good, everything recording also. So, I'll be playing hide and seek with all those different icons there, because just too many for me to keep up with. So, the less I have to deal with, the better I like it there. KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
Okay, thank you so much, gentlemen, for your questions and your comments. And we have, I think, a couple more comments before we move on. Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, and if I recall, you're a person who does not like the smartphone or the iPhones or the Androids, and hopefully after tonight we'll change your mind. But what's your comment this evening? Please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and... And that is pretty much right. I'm not a big fan of cell phones. I'm really not. And I think they're cool. I think my smartphones are very cool. But I just don't get they don't have a great appeal to me. I guess that's what it really is. There's no magnet there drawing me in, you know. But having said that, and realizing how important they are, I'll have a couple of questions later about things that we haven't gotten onto now. But I guess the main thing is that, like Popeye the Sailor, I need to be edumacated here, you know, on a couple of things. And the first thing, I know you were talking about, you know, Wi-Fi versus being on the cellular network, and you know, I know how that works, but the thing with me is that, okay, a lot of that as far as being charged, you know, as far as the dollars go, would have to do with the plan that you're on, and that led me to start thinking about, and maybe we'll get onto this a little bit later. So this is going to be a later topic, just defer it then. But as far as when you purchase a phone, do you purchase it, how can you purchase it unlocked? And if you purchase this thing unlocked, what really are your options as far as the network you get on? That was item number one. And item number two was, again, you guys were talking about that just a moment ago. Let me just buy a nickel. My lovely wife has an Android phone. She's got a Samsung Galaxy. And I wanted to know how big a memory card you can put on that thing. Is there a practical limit? So those are my two questions / comments, and we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right, Gary, I'm going to throw this out to our experts, but I have a Galaxy 2 Stratosphere Samsung, and I've been quite happy with it, been working with it. Did a few things I probably shouldn't have with it, but I was able to correct them. And I will learn as I go, and actually we'll be heading back into the Verizon store next week to have a conversation with the person who sold it to me, because they always, after they sell you the package, the cell phones, they want to know how it's doing, and so they'll give you a call and ask if you have any questions. You just come back and see them. So that's what I'm going to do next week. But let me throw it out there to either you, Paul, or you, Steve. And Kevin, like I said, I haven't heard you, in case you're in the background. Would you like to give Gary an answer to this? I'm not sure if this was one of the questions further down, but maybe you can answer it now for him. So, our experts, any response?
I can take a little bit of his question, Kathy. This is N4FTD.
All right, Paul, go right ahead.
And once again, I'm sure steeped in enlightenment a little further on the typical Android phone plans. But speaking about the unlocked phone situation, again, from specifically the perspective of an iPhone, if you go on, for example, Apple's website to buy your phone from them, just as an example, which is one of the options, you can also go to one of the main carriers and buy it from them, and there's some other places and ways you can purchase a phone also, here in the States anyhow. But let's say you go on their website, on Apple's website. In fact, I just did this the other day just to show my sister the pricing differences. She lives and works in India, and so I'm not familiar with how that all works, but I know that she would need a, if she's going to buy her phone here, she'll need an unlocked phone. And they're quite a bit more expensive because you're not tying it in with a plan. Therefore, you're not getting the discounts that the carriers offer to lure you to their plan and, you know, the monthly freight for 2 years usually. So it's an expensive proposition, but then you can go to any carrier that supports that particular type of technology, either the GSM or the CDMA technology, I believe, is the two main ones with an iPhone. and you can have them put a SIM card in and you're off and running. And in the case of an international traveler, you know, you would certainly want to have that type of situation so you could swap out cards potentially and use them with different carriers in different countries. But the other option besides an unlocked phone is to go with one of the main carriers, and that would be Sprint or Verizon or AT&T in the United States. And then from there you can, you know, you can pick the plan that you want and go from there. So that's kind of how the rate plan situation works, at least, again, when you purchase a phone here in the United States. And again, I think Steve can confirm that it's similar with Android, but I'm not positive about that. You asked a question, Kathy, while I'm thinking about it, about my previous phone experience, and you're correct, it was an Android. Although I didn't get into the under the hood very much at all, other than to try to connect up my phone to my computer. I did have that going for a while, and then they made some changes and that disappeared. So I was using my phone as a modem, essentially. That's the only tinkering I did. So other than that, I just used it and didn't really get into a lot of the stuff. In fact, I've learned things tonight from Steve just listening to him talk about the Android. So that's enough for this one. Back to you, Kathy. Here at Ben 4 FTD.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. And thank you once again, Steve, for your comments. And, of course, the rest of you for your questions and comments. I have one more person in the background who has a comment, and then we'll move on and into our next question. And hopefully anyone who's connected will come aboard and share any comments this evening. KY6V, come aboard with your comment or your question.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I hope you're here. Just tell me, are you hearing me okay? I've got some problems with the computer, over.
You sound like your normal voice to me.
Okay. It's acting very finically here tonight. I ran a utility cleanup, and I had 11 bogus files that were cleaned up, quarantined, and kicked out of Dodge. But it's still running a little sluggish. I want to ask Steve just a minor and quick question. And I assume that I could probably research this on the internet, Steve. But maybe give me a quick 25 word or less answer to this. At the top of your Android, it'll tell you whether you're running 3G or 4G or you're on wireless and so on and so forth. It also has an indicator of an E. And I understand that it E stands for the Edge Network. I'm not familiar with that. Would you care to expound on it, over?
Sure, Gordon. E is Edge, and it is the, I would call it the original data system. And, you know, before 3G, there was 2G. Before 2G, there was 1.5X, I think they called it, and then Edge was the original system. So it's way slow. I could look up the numbers, but it's way slow. KF5VH.
Okay. That's good to know. Stay away from the E. Thanks, Steve. And thank you, Kathy. Great show. You know, I know about as much of this subject to be dangerous and not be smart at all. KY6V. Go ahead, Kathy.
All right. Once again, thank you, experts. Thank you, membership, for being here tonight with your questions and your comments. Let me go into the next question. And this reads, and actually both you, Paul, and Steve answered my question on being on Wi-Fi, that I'm not actually being billed for the data until I actually go right into the cell phone. But what apps would you recommend other than the standard Echolink or the antivirus and the preferred browsers? I actually downloaded Echolink. I've downloaded Malwarebytes and Avest, and I actually downloaded VNC, but I haven't downloaded much else. But I know on one of my apps there's also an Office program. I think it's called QuickWorks or something like that, but it does give you Word and Excel and some of those, I think, a PDF file. So actually those are in there. But either Paul or Steve or both of you, what apps would you recommend other than the standard Echolink, antivirus, and browsers to put on our phones? If you have a comment or anyone else who has a comment, come aboard.
Well, I guess I can start that one off. If you're going to put Echolink on your phone, you might as well put Echolink Finder on your phone. It looks at the GPS, figures out where you're at, and will provide you a map of nearby Echolink locations. The same with IRLP Finder. You might as well have that one also. It will show you the nearest IRLP sites. There's an application called Repeater Book. It does the same thing. It finds your location and shows you the nearest repeaters. You tap on their name and it gives you their frequency, their offset, where they're located, and their PL tone and other notes. I have that with me all the time. You never know when you're going to be somewhere and need some numbers. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. I would never have thought of going in to look for that. Actually, Echolink was put on by the salesperson who I was talking to at Verizon. He asked me some things that I wanted to put on there. Echolink was one, and he actually set up my Gmail. So he actually went in and did that for me, and he put it in two different locations. And so maybe when I go back to him versus me doing, I've done some apps, and I go directly to the Internet and do it, and there may be another way to do it, I guess, through the store. So before I go on to the next question, Paul, do you have any response, or is there anyone else that has any response to this question, or maybe a question of Steve or Paul that relates to the apps that you're interested in? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the TIN open forum. So if you want to come aboard, please come aboard with your suffix.
FTB.
All right, Paul, go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. And I switched radios. I'm back to the Radio Shack, so I'm giving my handheld a chance to cool off here. I think it only runs the minimum of 1 watt, and that's way more than I need, and it's heating up my pocket. So I thought I'd come in here, and I also pulled up a article that I wrote, sent out to you. I think, well, maybe I didn't send it out to you. I don't remember. But anyhow, I wrote a little article because I can't remember the name of the gentleman who mentioned he doesn't like smartphones, and I apologize, I forgot your name and didn't write it down, that you're not sold yet on them, and here's a long list. I'll just give you maybe half of my list of reasons why I love my smartphone. And if I had to give up every computing device that I own, but one, I'd keep my phone. And again, I'm very iPhone centric. I've used both platforms. I love my iPhone. I'll try not to get on that high horse tonight, but either type of smartphone will do most of these things. Here's a list of not applications per se, but functions that different apps can do for you that I find indispensable in many cases. For example, right at the top of the list, my little pocket device is my personal secretary. I use my Google Calendar to remind me of things and to send me text messages whenever I'm supposed to do something or be somewhere. You can be right down to the minute if you want, or have a reminder show up in the morning, and you can have emails sent to you or text messages. So I think every Android phone, you've got a Gmail account, and you can use their calendar, and that's I consider that my personal secretary, since I can't afford to hire one. Of course, a camera that goes with me everywhere, including a still and video cameras. Voice recorders. When I go to conferences, I record the sessions that I go to, and then later pull them out and use a program can't think of the name of it, Audacity, sorry, to edit and eliminate the nonsense and keep what I want. Of course, email, word processing. I mean, you can even use spreadsheets on a smartphone, although it's not a very fun experience compared to a computer, full-size computer. I have apps that allow me to do audio, video, and photo editing. It's just amazing how much you can do, and post the final product on YouTube or Vimeo or any number of other photo type sites straight from the phone. And I'll stop with the fact that you can always know where you're at and where you're going, and get where you're going with a GPS and a map program, and there's lots of them available. And that's just a small chunk of my list that I'll continue on with later. But as I said, it just does so many things, and there's probably more than one app for each of these items. So the list goes on and on. Think of the things you'd like to be able to do, and then when you go to the store, whichever app store you're going to, type in those functions, and you'll be amazed how many things pop up. Back to you, Kathy. This is N4FTD.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, and the calendar and the recorder. Never thought of using the recorder that's on there to actually tape a session, meetings you go to. I may have to try that during my training when I get back to school. I have a major training coming up, leadership training, and that may be something. Sometimes they don't like you to do that. But camera, and that's going to be one of the questions I ask, is actually about the camera. But the person you were talking about is actually Gary, KC2RMO. He's our assistant net manager for South Cars VYP. And his wife has a smartphone, but he says he doesn't like cell phones. He probably likes the house phone instead. But actually, I have had a cell phone for quite some time and got rid of that house phone. So with that, we have a comment from Steve, KF5VH. Please come aboard, Steve. And thanks again, once again, for being here tonight.
I was going to mention widgets. Paul mentioned things you can access on the phone. In the Android environment, many of the apps have widgets, so that you don't even have to start the program. So for example, when I take my phone and I open it up on the home page, my calendar is laid out. It's two elements wide and three elements high. It's all laid out. My battery state is right there on the phone, so I don't have to actually touch anything to to get the information. The things that I want to see all the time are displayed and updated automatically right to the top layer of the display. And I'll add two things to Paul's list. Number one is, have you ever been anywhere and they've got something displayed? Maybe you're at a meeting and they wrote something on a flip chart, a recipe, whatever, and everyone starts copying. When you have a smartphone, you don't copy. What you do is you walk up with your camera, take a nice picture of it, and walk away. The other thing is, you get yourself an app for your kitchen. Every time you're out of something, you take your phone, you fire up the app, you point it at the barcode. The barcode knows exactly what that product is and adds it to a list. And when you go to the grocery store, you can bring up that list and check off those items as you put it in the basket. Maybe that'll help you enjoy a smartphone. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
Well, Steve, that is really neat. I would never have thought about the barcodes and probably wouldn't have thought about the flip chart either. But, you know, quite often some of those trainings I go through and meetings we go to, and you see all that information on those flip charts, and you actually do see some people walk up with a regular camera and take it. But thanks for sharing that with us. And, you know, we have a member out there that I've been listening to. This week too, he talked about GPS and a little bit of the problem he got into with the GPS, and so hopefully he'll come aboard at some point this evening to talk about that. So I haven't done it for navigation. I've gone in just to see miles from one place to another. So thanks for sharing that with us. Mr. Gary, RMO, I see you have another comment. Please come aboard.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I just wanted to say that my idea of a great phone has a rotary dial on it and weighs about 10 pounds. Yeah. I love those things. I do. At least opened my mind up to a few new possibilities here. And I have to secretly admit that I've been kind of eyeing one of the new Blackberries. I kind of like the looks of those things. But Androids are pretty cool too. So and my son swears by his iPhone. So, but I realize I have to join the 21st century sometime. So I'll probably take the plunge. But stop being a grumpy old man and just do it. So it all sounds pretty cool. So we'll probably be diving in. Thank you, folks, and we'll turn it back to the net.
All right, thank you so much, Mr. Gary. But as far as I understand, the BlackBerry may not have an app for Echo Link, so you may want to think about one of the others, the iPhone or the Android or maybe the Droid, whichever ones support Echo Link. You know, I haven't tried it over the air. But I have brought it up, and it's quite interesting. And that is one of the reasons I decided to get the smartphone. Besides, I get such a great discount through being a teacher in Florida through Verizon. And I had quite a good deal, and so I decided I would do that. Now, what Steve was talking, I think it was him, about widgets. You know, at one point, my desktop, I think, it's the home screen. I lost. I have the time there and the weather, and Google was there. They sort of disappeared. I couldn't figure out what happened to them, but I think it was maybe playing around with the machine. I actually held it down and probably took it someplace. But I found those widgets, and I was able to bring that back so it looked natural because I thought I had done something wrong. And there's a lot of those widgets. So when you're bringing up on the Android apps, also right alongside of it is widgets. So with that, let me move along into the next question, but let me drop it first here for a moment. All right. Our next question has to do with pictures, Paul. And, I've always had a camera on my phone. My last one, of course, it was Verizon, and the pictures were okay. But this one has a little different setup for the pictures. I've been trying to learn it. I think you can change some of the resolutions. You can change where it goes. And so I want to throw this question out. What's your recommendation to taking the best pictures on your cell phone? Is it just simply sending that picture towards the direction of whatever you want to take it and clicking that button? Or should something be changed before you do that? I actually took some pictures of cuddles and very close to me, and I think they came out okay. But either of our two experts out there, or anyone who's had smartphones for a while, have any comments about the picture taking, please come aboard.
VH.
Thank you so much, Steve. Go right ahead.
I can tell you the way I think about it, Kathy. Cell phones do not have tremendous zoom lenses. So the best way, in my mind, to get good pictures that you can use is to crank the resolution up. I think I shoot 4,000 by 3,000 on the pixels, which is a lot. But what it means is, even if I can't fill up the screen and make it a well composed shot, what I can do later then is go back in and zoom, and I'll have plenty of resolution left to do my cropping afterwards. The other thing that I do is I have my phone set up with Dropbox. I have Dropbox on my computer, I have Dropbox in my phone, and I tell my phone every time I take a picture, queue it up, and the next time I'm in Wi-Fi coverage, automatically move it to Dropbox. When it gets moved to Dropbox, it gets moved to all my computers, and I can access it from anywhere, including back from my phone. And that way, if I'm on vacation and taking pictures, as soon as I go somewhere and get back in Wi-Fi, that picture is backed up. And if I lose the phone, or if the phone breaks or someone steals it, I still have those pictures. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
That's a great idea, Steve, and thanks for sharing that. So along with the pictures, and we've talked about data, you know, as long as you're on Wi-Fi, you're not using data. You're calling on the cell phone, you're not using the data usage, you're texting. Tell me, Steve, as far as taking the picture, and I'm sure it probably uses some of the data, correct me if I'm wrong, but does it use data usage by taking those pictures?
It doesn't use data in terms of data transfer. It takes up storage on the phone. Then if you ask the phone to move it somewhere, that's when it takes up data bandwidth.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. And thank you, everyone, once again. We're going to continue on. And, you know, as I'm throwing these questions out, if you have questions in the background that you would like to throw towards our experts, I hope that you will feel free to come aboard. This has to do with Wi-Fi again. Is it cheaper to use Wi-Fi through your home router than it is to use direct connection to the internet via your phone? I think we've talked a little bit about that, and it probably is. So when I'm, I very rarely am connecting to the internet. I check out maybe my Comcast email, but most of it I go directly to the computer. So our experts, is it cheaper to use Wi-Fi through your home router than it is to use a direct connection to the internet via your phone? Any comments there, either Paul or Steve or anyone else who has any comments out there? Please come aboard. N4FDD, please go ahead.
Kathy, can you clarify your question? The way you worded it, it sounded like you were talking about the same thing, using the internet via Wi-Fi.
Hello.
Excuse me, Andrew. Through your home router, that was my third harmonic here, or I'm not sure if you were saying through the cellular network or you said a direct connection to the internet. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Could you clarify that?
Six vector, Kathy.
Go ahead, Gordon.
All right, thank you. Paul, the way that I read her question, it's the same one for me. It is my opinion that you are saving money by communicating to your Wi-Fi and out to the internet as opposed to using direct cellular connectivity and therefore accruing, you know, data minutes. So her question was simply, is it cheaper for us to use our Wi-Fi when available as opposed to going to cellular? Over.
Okay, yeah, I understand. And the answer, and short answer, is yes, it's cheaper to use Wi-Fi.
Hello?
Andrew? Excuse me a second, let me deal with grandson here, hold on. Okay, we had a little chat. If you can avoid using the cellular network, you're avoiding data charges or, you know, using up your data bucket, whatever amount you have through your plan. So anytime you can connect to a Wi-Fi network, it's just like you're using a computer hooked to the through the Wi-Fi network to the internet, going through a router or, you know, straight to the internet. So it's interesting sometimes, and in some situations, if you have a phone that is 4G or 4G capable, then you could potentially end up with a faster connection occasionally through the internet or to the internet via the cellular network than via Wi-Fi. I've heard of that happening in some situations with 4G. But be that as it may be faster occasionally, although usually not. But even if it is, it's also much more expensive. So use Wi-Fi when you can. And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Android, like the iPhone, if you have a Wi-Fi connection and you're using it, it will remember that connection and will prioritize the Wi-Fi connection over the cellular connection when it's available. So correct me if I'm wrong about that. Back to you, Kathy. I hope that answered your question from at least my perspective. N4FTD.
Thank you, Paul. And actually, that did. And I thought maybe this was a repeat question that I had asked before. But let me throw it over to you, Steve, see if you have any comments about that. And then I have a series of questions, but I'm going to throw it out there to those listening and see if there's any questions they have of our experts before I move on. But Steve, do you have any comments you'd like to make about that last question?
Kathy, I'm going to agree with Paul. But let me make sort of a side comment here that you don't need, at least in the Android arena, you don't need cell service to run an Android cell phone. They're not really a cell phone. An Android cell phone is really a small computer with software to make it pretend like it's a phone. It's a doggone computer. And I have just done this in the past couple weeks. I bought a new Android and I got it set up. I took my old Android and I did a factory reset. I no longer have cell service for it. But I put Echolink on it. And it's what I use when I want to walk around the house and listen to the net. It's what I used on vacation. Took with me to listen to South Cars. You don't have to mess up your personal phone, and you don't have to even be scared of using cell minutes or cell data minutes or cell data kilobytes, because it doesn't have any cell service, and it'll work just fine as an Echolink computer that you can carry with you. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
All right. Thank you, Steve. My last phone was not an Android. It was just a regular phone. But in the future, if I'm understanding that correctly, once I download whatever out of my old cell phone, I can go back to that and use that, just like what you're saying. So thank you for that comment. And actually, some of the next questions we had were about Echolink, but I'm going to throw it out there to anyone. This includes our experts. This includes those listening that have questions or any comments before I actually move into some of the other questions. And that's what we're here for you tonight. If you have questions of those experts out there, on questions you've had after you've bought that Android. Now's the time to really throw them out and ask. So at this point, I'm going to throw it out to all of you in our audience. Any comments, any questions, just merely come aboard with your suffix, and hopefully I can work a list, and then we'll go from there.
Six, Victor, Kathy.
G-Y-F.
All right, it only looks like I have two gentlemen who have questions out there. The rest of you are either listening with open ears or just being quiet tonight. Let me start with you, first of all, Six Victor, with your comment or your question. And thanks for being here, and you're sounding great, as usual. So I think everything's okay on your system. KY6B, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. You know, the way things have been going here today, it's probably only momentary. And I'll make this short because I'm glad to hear Doug coming in down there from Fort Myers with a lot of 2 weeks of experience with the Android and a lot of questions just like we have. Steve, is there any problem with the 4G? You know, early on, those that had 4G capability had problems with Echolink. There was a protocol complication. Has that all been taken care of, Steve? Over.
Gordon, I run my Echolink through my Wi-Fi 99% of the time, so I really can't address that. My previous phone did not have 4G or LTE, and I haven't made use of it on my new phone, and can't help you with an answer for that, KF5VH.
Okay, understand. Thank you, Senor. Kathy, go ahead and pick up Doug, the master of ceremonies in the intrusion. Is that the word I want to use? The entrance into this wild arena. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V.
All right. Thank you so much, Gordon. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And actually, it was Doug when he first came on, and I think that was about 2 weeks ago, saying he had gotten this Android. And then it wasn't too long after that I did the same thing. And then I heard the comments from George, KW4LCB, that it was both of us that sent him to get the Androids. So, Doug, thanks for being here tonight. I hope that this is somewhat helping, but you've really spent a great deal of time going through those apps and that system, and you're probably going to be an expert before too long. So, what's your comment? What's your question this evening? KA0GYF, come aboard.
Yeah, hi guys. I'm Doug in Fort Myers. I went and I think the most important shopping element for me when I decided to get a smartphone, I wanted to shop on a cheap month-to-month, no contract prepaid, so that meant I had to buy a phone up front. Yes, it costs a little more, and Consumers Union says, pay a little now, save a lot later. So I've paid a little bit for the phone, and I'm on a real cheap month-to-month, no contract, and if I don't like them, I say goodbye to them. Kathy, I too found some of those apps that looked like something I was not interested in, and I saw that they wouldn't uninstall. So I didn't want to look at those icons, so I figured a way, and there's sure enough, when you have an app page up, you can click on settings, and there is a way to hide those icons, hide app icons. And so the ones that I couldn't uninstall and I didn't want to look at, I did a left click and chose the hide option, and then clicked on those icons I wanted to say goodbye to, and they just go hiding. I hope ultimately the zombies can be eliminated, and by Steve will probably let us know how we can, you know, unlock GSM is weird enough.
I don't know. Then there's the that option that you choose, and it's called, you know, making the phone really your own. And I guess that's how you get rid of the applications. What's that called? The only thing that comes to mind is Tickle. Tickle. It sounds like Tickle. I'm having a lot of fun with the Android, spending way too much time with it. And my only question tonight for Steve, I hope Kevin comes along here and gives us some wisdom. KJ4PR in the Florida Keys, my question for Steve is this. Steve, paid or free, is there an application downloadable from Samsung apps or Play Store or some other dependable source to make your cell phone a Wi-Fi hotspot, like the little girl in the commercial that's selling Wi-Fi connections at the airport? How does she do it? And is it free, or is it $3.99, and does it work? KA0GYF, Doug in Fort Myers. Thank you.
Well, good evening, Doug. It depends. How about that? It depends on your carrier, and it depends on which version of Android you have. I was running Android 3.something on my old Galaxy One phone. There was an application called Foxfy. That's Foxtrot Oscar X-Ray Foxtrot India. And that app on Sprint would allow your phone to become a hotspot. Other carriers don't like the concept because they'd like to sell you that service as a hotspot. I think all carriers have an app. I know on AT&T it's built into the phone, but they want to charge you monthly for it. It's another $10 or $20 a month for a couple gigs of data. So you can certainly get it, and what that does is that takes the 3G out of the air, brings it into your phone, and sends that data back out Wi-Fi. And then it talks to your laptop or whatever. And then your laptop sends data back Wi-Fi. It goes into your phone, and the phone converts it back to 3G and sends it into the carrier. How'd I do, KF5VH?
I haven't. Thanks, Steve. Let me see if I got it. Yeah. Hey, I'll research Foxfy, and I'll also research, you know, my phone parameters. It's an unbranded Samsung. Carries no, you know, logo of any carrier. And I just chose that there's only two carriers that support the GSM phone. But, of course, both those carriers have many sub-carriers. So there's, you know, at least 20 between the two carriers that support GSM and their sub-lease, or, you know, people that lease the towers and sell data. All kinds of weird companies out there selling all kinds of weird cell service, and I get to choose between them with no contract. All right, I'll research Foxfy, and also my phone. It's a 4.1.2 Samsung S3 Mini. And that's a mouthful for me, because it's a brave new world out there, and I've just jumped in. And sure appreciate all the advice that we're getting here on tonight's South Cars Net, KE0GYF. Back to Kathy.
Well, thank you both, Doug and Steve, and like I said, everyone else here this evening. And for anyone who's just connected with us this evening, this is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, Net Control or Moderator. We're discussing smartphones and Android. So a lot of us have just bought some new equipment, We have tons of questions of some experts. So if you have any questions, or maybe you're one of those experts that'd like to come aboard and share, and we have quite a few more questions. But I have one for you both, Steve, because it's an Android that you're an expert with, or you, Paul. And this has to do with answering phone calls. I seem to be having a problem with actually answering the call. It comes in. Sometimes it doesn't come in. But when I hit the phone, it doesn't answer. And so is it something you have to do with that little green phone? Do you have to hold it down and move it to the center of the screen before you can answer that call? And along with that, going into voicemail. When it takes you to voicemail, there was something there about clearing notifications. So I never know if I have a voicemail. It's just completely gone. But when I try to hit the password, you know, I have a number password. It brings up a keypad. It won't stay lit long enough. It just comes on and comes off. And that little lady says, I don't have the right password. That's a long question for both of you, but just sort of curious if you have a quick answer for me. And this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Both you, Steve, and Paul, do you have a quick answer for me?
Well, since it's Android, let me take a swing at it here. In the modern Android phones, Android 3 and Android 4, they typically three things you can do when the phone rings. There'll be typically a green mark in one corner, a red mark in the other corner, and some other type of indicator low center. So if you put your finger on the green indicator, the answer indicator, and swipe it across the screen, that will answer the phone. If you take the red indicator and swipe it across the screen, that will say that you don't want to answer the phone. And if you activate the thing in the center, which is normally a swipe up, it'll bring up a list of messages. You can tap any of the messages and you can change them. And it will allow the call to go to voicemail, but it will send them a text message of whatever you tap. So if I wanted to do that, the phone is ringing, I'm in a meeting, I'd swipe the center and tap, I'm in a meeting, I'll call you back later. And they could also leave the call. So it does both things. It leaves the call to the voicemail, and it sends them a text message. As far as your voicemail question, I think that would be carrier specific. I think you said Verizon, and I've never been a Verizon customer. KF5VH, back to you, Kathy.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. That sort of helps with the phone calls, and I think it's something that I have to talk to Verizon about. Every time I try to get into that voicemail, it's like it's flashing at me, so something must be in the system. So I'll definitely ask them that next week when I see them. So with that, I'm sorry, George. I knew that you had a comment and a question, and I didn't mean to skip over you. So I'll call on you right now before we move on into some other questions. KW4LCB, please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo. Well, Steve answered the question about the incoming call, and it takes them. Takes a few times to get used to, doing that swipe there. But getting back to Doug's question, as you know, I just purchased a new Android, which is the Galaxy Express. And I did notice as I was navigating through it, it said, do I want to make this phone a Wi-Fi hotspot, but I also noticed as I surfed the web on the computer at the AT&T web and pulled up that phone and looked under the accessories, there is an accessory that is also available as a Wi-Fi spot, so getting back to Doug's question, there is dialogue in that phone as to if you would like to make this phone a hotspot, a Wi-Fi hotspot. So that's about all I know about the situation at this moment. I do have noticed top of my head is a little bit slicker, and it sure causes the body to get dry. Back to net control, KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, thanks so much for that comment, and thank you once again, Paul and Steve, and like I said, anyone else connected with your comments and your questions, and hopefully everyone is learning a great deal this evening. You know, some of the next questions I had were actually about Echolink, and because all of us are hams, and some of the reason we have bought the Androids or the smartphones is to get those apps put on. So my first question here of either one of you experts is, does the Echolink app provide for multiple user profiles as it does with the main program? So if you have someone in your household, two hams, and you want to use that Android, do you actually have to put different call signs each time you want to use it, or is there a profile in there that you can add both of them? So, experts, do you have any answer to that question? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, this is N4FTD. Thanks, Kathy. To my knowledge, on both platforms, the answer is no. The you can plug in a new call sign if you want to, but it's kind of a pain, and then be somebody else. But other than that, in that situation, I'm not aware of any profiles you can store where you can, you know, be different, have different call signs or or anything like that. And not only that, but you're always using what we've come to call plain vanilla. In other words, there's no dash L or dash R, there's no linking with the smartphone in the Android or in the Echolink app. It's just all straight, you know, N4FTD or KY6V or whatever your call sign is, with no dash anything after it. And not only that, but you're not going to have any multiple connects on top of that. It's just like, well, let's just leave it at that. It's a single connect, and of course you can accomplish something similar to multiple connects if you're connected to a conference server, which is probably, in my experience, the most pleasant user experience on a cell phone with the Echolink program, is to connect to something like SCARS, you know, a conference server, so you can talk to multiple people at the same time. So that's a little bit more than you asked for, but that gives you a little bit of the feel for the Echolink program, and I think it's the same on Android also. Back to you, Kathy.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul, for that information. And before I actually ask if there's any comments out there, another question I have, which is relating to Echolink, because I didn't put the app in. It was put actually in by the salesman, and I think he asked me for a password. And I can't exactly remember, but I think George was doing something with that today, and he said it did not ask for a password. Now, either you or Steve, can you remember if you actually, when you're setting up Echolink on your smartphone, whether it's going to ask you for a password?
My recollection, Kathy, is it did take a password, and it would have been your Echolink password. But I can look and check in just a second. I agree with what Paul said. Another factor of running Echolink on one of the smartphones is you can only make calls out. Generically speaking, you can only make calls out. You can't receive calls on a standard Echolink deployment on the smartphone. KF5VH.
Six Vector, Kathy.
All right. Thank you so much, both Paul and Steve. And Six Victor, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Zell. I just want to go back to both Steve or the original here on Paul. Are we saying that conference availability is not available on iPhone or Androids? Is that what you're saying, Paul? Over.
Let me make sure I got it. Yeah, what I'm saying is when I say conference, you cannot have multi-connect. You don't have multi-connect capabilities, you know, where you can have two connections simultaneously or three connections simultaneously and essentially function as a hub for, you know, multiple people in a conference call, so to speak. You cannot do that. You can connect to a conference server, which will function in that capacity for you and enable you, as we're doing right now, to talk with others. Besides just one other connection, you know, you can talk to multiple through a conference server. But as Steve said, in most cases, there's special cases where that someone can connect to you, but generally speaking, it's not possible for someone to connect to you. You have to connect to them using your smartphone and the Echolink program. Back to you.
Okay. I need to ask this question, Paul. Can you, when in connectivity with a single station, be it a conference or a single station, can you also connect to a second station at the same time if you are the connecting person? Over.
I believe the answer is no. Confirm that for me, Steve, but I believe the answer is negative.
I concur. With the version in the phones, it's a single connect. All other bridging must be done externally.
Okay. Thank you, guys. While we're on this subject, would either one of you like to comment on the multiple choices that you have on the Androids or iPhones? A direct connect, a public proxy, a custom proxy, a relay. It seems to me that it's all following the same suit that we're just talking about. It's one-on-one. You don't go any further. Paul, you want to start this? Over.
Yeah, and be sure that, Kathy, that you call on Doug for his comments on this. That's GYF Doug. He made a comment the other day, I think, in an email about his experience, and it's been very good with, gosh, I want to say relay, but I'm not sure. But I have mine set to go to automatic, or set on automatic, which means that whatever the Echolink program tests the water, so to speak, and chooses the best mode of operation for that particular situation and connectivity mode that it's in. And most of the time in that posture, in my case, has gone to a public proxy. So I suppose I have forced it to do one or the other, but I just left it in automatic, and that seems to be the one that gets picked the most often. So that's my story. Let me turn it back to Kathy so she can push this around wherever she wants to. This is N4FTD. Go ahead, Kathy.
All right, thank you, Paul, and once again, Steve, and everyone else this evening. Any comments further here in this area of Echolink? There are other questions that I was going to ask as well, but let me throw it out there to anyone listening tonight that have comments or questions, maybe regarding Echolink versus me going through the questions, or any other comments you have of our experts or any questions. I know that George wants to go through antivirus, whether it's important and which programs are important. Yes, I do want to hear from Doug, have him tell us about his GPS, his navigation, something to stay away from maybe. And since, Doug, you have been working with your system for a while, and Steve and Paul, you know, things that we need to stay away from that don't get us into trouble. So at this point, let me throw it around and see if anyone would like to come aboard with comments.
GYF.
And Lima Charlie Bravo.
All right, at this point, I have two check-ins here. I have GYF and LCB. So, Mr. Doug, go right ahead with your comment or your question, and hopefully with some of your experiences.
Hi, Kathy, Gordon, Paul, neighbor Paul, Steve. So I'm going on about a week and a half navigating to the local supermarket with my new GPS, my first ever GPS, and my new brand new smartphone. And they're a pre-installed blue triangle set navigation, and I was getting pretty used to that. So this morning, you know, the first thing, I go to the phone, and it says, well, we got some updates we got to do, Douglas. So I go, blotty, 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 oh, and I go, okay. I start downloading these updates. One of them was for Google Maps. Well, next thing I know, my blue triangle icon disappeared, and Google Maps has taken over the job of being my GPS. So now the question is, have I found it so that each and every application has its own management system for managing updates, or is there a master control that I can turn automatic updates off? Furthermore, I'm a Windows kind of like to be in charge kind of guy, and my first tool that's in my start menu is the task manager. It comes up first thing. Is there a task manager for Android? So anyway, it's about updating, automatic control of updates on an individual application or for all updates, and number two, task manager equivalent for Android. KA0GYF would like to know.
VH.
All right, VH, Steve, go right ahead. And actually, that was one of my questions further down, so that would be a good time to give Doug a good answer for task manager. And I think he's talking about automatic updates. And I found that it does not automatic updates. I have it do when I'm on Wi-Fi, but it doesn't work for everything. So, Steve, maybe some comments here.
It does depend on the version of Android, what capabilities you have, but you can turn off automatic updates. It's settings about updates and then deselect automatic, I think will, in most operating systems, allow you to turn off the automatic. In Android 4 versions, again, I'm fairly new on the 4, I believe for each application you can set whether you want automatic updates or not. So there are some apps that I trust the person providing, and I just say automatic update this one. There are other apps where I want to control it, and I say, tell me that there's an update available, but don't update it till I tell you to go ahead. Hope that helps. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
I think that is very true, and what I've found, I've been able to automatic update, but I have to do it individually. So thanks for that comment. Do you have a comment about Task Manager? Like Doug said, he's a Windows or a Windows person, which has the Task Manager application. Does the cell phone actually have an app for this monitoring? Now, I saw a Task Manager as I was going through the phone today, but I didn't think it allowed me to do very much of anything. So maybe you have a comment there for Doug. KF5VH.
K6SUN and the net KF5VH. in the early Android systems 1 and 2, there were a lot of them, primarily because applications would get stuck and you needed a way to reach in and turn them off. The task scheduler has gotten much better. In part, we now use things like task managers to see how much power they're consuming, how much CPU time they're taking, and just to see whether they're running or not, or whether they haven't been started in the system. To look at their consumption of time and battery power, that's normally done down through the battery chain of commands. If you go to settings and somewhere down in there, there'll be something about battery management or power management. It would be down in there. In terms of seeing if it's running, you go to the memory section. So you go settings, and then there'll be something about memory. And in there, you can say, show me all apps, show me the apps that I downloaded, or show me the apps that are running. And you can get at that. But again, in each different version of Android, there are minor changes to how you find that information, just like every other operating system. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH. For the most
All right, N4FTD, do you have any comment here about the iPhones? Because not everyone here tonight maybe has the Androids. Do you have any comments on the task manager? And the other comment that Doug was asking about that you'd like to share with us. So N4FTD, please come aboard.
Yeah, this is N4FTD. I'm remembering from, I think I go back to like version 1 of the Android operating system, and can't for the life of me remember the name of this little program that allowed you to turn off an application if it got stuck, but it had the word kill in it. And I'm sure you remember that or have used that one, Steve. Kill something, and I can't remember the rest of it. And I used that a lot, and I found that it was necessary back in those days. And my understanding is that Android's gotten a lot better with the more modern Android version. On an iPhone, a lot of the things you need to do to control various apps, because of the fact that Apple has sort of forced app makers to comply with their rules, if you will, their operating system rules, so many of the things that you need to do and want to do dealing with different apps, you can do in the operating system under one of the settings. Similar to the Android, where you can go in and by app, you know, control the behavior of that app, but it's done through the operating system, and it's kind of like forced. The apps are all forced to communicate with, and then you communicate with them through the operating system itself. So, but as Steve said, as time has gone on and different versions of the operating system come out, occasionally they move our cheese on us, and they combine things and they spread things out, and you know, you have to go find them again, just like moving from XP to Windows 7 and then Windows 8. You know, everything gets rearranged, so it's not unlike the computer world, whether laptop or desktop computer in that sense. I wanted to say one comment from something that was said quite a while ago, but let me buy a little time here first. Like Steve said, I think it's important to think of a smartphone as a computer that has a phone built into it. In fact, I would go further and say that that a smartphone is simply a device, a computing device, with multiple radios in it. Starting with the radio that could put you on the cellular phone network. That's one of the radios. Another radio is an 802.11 radio that puts you on the Wi-Fi network, typically 2.4 gigahertz. And then usually or often a GPS radio, and I have no idea what frequency that works on, but it's communicates with satellites. And then finally, many maybe even most now, smartphones have a Bluetooth radio, which also operates, I believe, in the 2.4 gigahertz band, but it's a different thing altogether from Wi-Fi. And you can use different devices with your smartphone in different services, if you will, radio services, such as the cellular network or a Bluetooth device that would communicate with your phone. Various accessories then can be added to a phone. But it's really a versatile device, if you think about it, in that it's a computer with usually three or four radios all working together. And that's pretty amazing, that bridge between the cellular and the Wi-Fi frequencies and networks when you're putting your phone in a hotspot mode, as an example. So it's just amazing to me. And again, that's why I find it a very versatile device. Back to you, Kathy, N4FTD.
Thank you so much, Paul and Steve. Like I said, everyone with your fine questions out there. And that's what we're here tonight. We have some experts that have been using the Androids and the iPhones for quite some time. And us newbies have these questions. So I have a question from George, KW4LCB. And, you know, one of the questions we were going to ask is about some of the apps that really are necessary. And I think that's what he's going to ask you. I actually have, like I said, downloaded Avast, the antivirus, and I downloaded my malwares. And they actually do updates, you know, probably not as much as a computer, but they actually do them. And I actually used my VNC a little while ago, so it actually worked for me as well. But, George, what's your question of our experts this evening? KW4LCB, please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4, my Charlie Bravo. As Paul and Steve keep alluding to, this is a computer with a cell phone attached to it there. And the question, you know, was, is it really necessary to have a antivirus a program running? You know, it seems like I do think the carrier has a security type or thing going. You know, we got antivirus programs. We got Windows has their own firewall up. Is it really necessary, is my question, and to not aim at any specific person, so anyone can answer it. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to Net Control.
Thanks, George. KY6V here. Kathy asked me to take over for just a moment. She had something knocking at the door, I think. Anybody like to answer that, Steve, or you, Paul? I'm not sure what happened to Kevin here tonight. I guess maybe he got tied up and couldn't make it. And then I have some questions along the same line. Steve, I'll start with you, sir, if you'd be so kind. KY6V, over.
KY6V and the net, KF5VH. Well, I can say that I do not and have not run antivirus in my Androids. On the other hand, I practice safe computing. Unlike an iPhone, as far as I know, an iPhone can only get software from iTunes. I think that's the right name, the iTunes App Store. And Android, you can get that software from the Google Play Store. I think most things there would be reasonably safe. But you can also just directly load something that someone puts on the net and load it directly into your phone. Your phone will probably say, "Are you sure?" But Android puts you in control, and if you say yes, it'll bring in any program. So I don't get on the browser, and I don't scooch around the net just poking around. I go to places that I know from being on my computer and well-known sites. I don't think you need antivirus. This will change. the more Android becomes universal, the more people use it, the more people will try to attack it. Back to you, Gordon, KF5VH.
I appreciate that. Makes sense, Steve. Thank you. Paul, any comments on that?
This is N4FTD. I would say I'm the same way with Steve. I haven't and never have and you know, don't intend to anytime soon, although I think I saw that Avast now has antivirus for both the iPhone and an Android phone. I think there'll come a time when you probably will want to. It's interesting to think back, you know, as a Mac user, I always say that, you know, there's fewer of us, or at least there's still fewer of us compared to the PC world, but there used to be a lot fewer, and nobody cared about us, and so we didn't have to really think about or worry about antivirus software because we were just kind of flying below the radar, so to speak. And that I don't believe it's true in terms of statistics in the iPhone versus Android or Google operating system world. I'm not sure what piece of the pie the iPhone has now, but it's a significant piece. And you know, that would kind of indicate just the opposite, that the footprint is larger, and you know, the that's definitely not flying below the radar. So there probably is some wisdom in having antivirus on both platforms. But once again, I have to agree with Steve that if you're careful what you're doing, I would say that, you know, that makes more sense than not being careful, obviously. But you never know. And it is just the computer that can, in fact, get viruses, but you just have to watch where you go to avoid the problems and pitfalls of viruses and malware and all the other things. Back to you, Gordon, and for FTD.
Okay, I've been notified that our net control's back here, but I need to ask a couple of questions before I turn it over to you, Kathy. I've been in such a habit for so many years in utility cleanups of my Windows operating systems, no matter what OS that may be. And I go through a regimen quite regularly where I find out if there's any Skype updates. I then find out whether there's any Firefox, which is my main browser, updates. I have Avest on the Android, and I would like to check to see if there's any updates there. And then I go into Malwarebytes. I go into CC Cleaner. I go into Defrag. I go into ScanDisk. And then I come back to normal. Is that availability of utility cleanup, considering that the Android is a computer, I don't care if it's got four radios in it or 16, is that availability there to continue that type of operation? I'll start with you, Steve, if I may, and then we'll pass it over to Paul. Over.
Well, Gordon, I think you've stumped me here. I've never looked for cleanup tools for Android, but I've just found an article in Tech Republic, 5 apps to help you clean up your Android device. Startup Manager, One-Click Cleaner, Contacts Cleanup, App Cache Cleaner, and History Eraser. So it sounds like some people are doing it. I just have no experience. Back to you, Gordon, KF5VH. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Problem. I grab a hold of that hose all the time. Thanks, Steve. I'm sure it's there. I don't know if it's there in the same sequence that I use on Microsoft operating systems or not. Paul, any comment on that, sir? Over.
I'm the same as Steve. I haven't used any of those, nor have I even done any research to see if they exist on the iPhone, you know, the iOS operating system. But yeah, it looks like the other answer as far as Android. And, you know, tinkering with all of that stuff, I think, is beneficial. So you probably should be the one to, well, maybe Doug is already there. I was going to say, Doug or Gordon, you should be the one to pioneer that and report back to all of us. Tell us what you find. Back to you.
Oh, I think the ball just got back in my court. Thanks, Paul. Doug, are you still there? Any comments on that? Have you got that far yet? Over.
No, I haven't, but I'm really looking forward to this. I know CCleaner is under development for Android, and all those other utilities, it sounds like, you know, Doug working at his computer in Fort Myers, all those utilities you mentioned, Gordon. And sounds like Steve is there real quick on the Google search, and these things are becoming available. So I think I'm kind of arm in arm with you. You know, I don't expect you to go first, but I'll, you know, let's just kind of ease on down the road and tiptoe, and we're both 2 weeks, for crying out loud. And my new, I just programmed my Google Map GPS for a trip to the supermarket tomorrow morning. I think I'll make it. I'm going to drive straight on through. K0GYF, I guess I'm going to turn it to Kathy.
We'll tiptoe together. Thanks, Doug. Kathy, please go ahead, and thanks for the chance of jumping in here. KY6V, over.
Well, Gordon, thanks for picking up for me, as I had to be away for a few moments. But I was listening, and actually, guys, it looks like I'm the one that got into the water first. I've actually put Avest and Malwares on my machine. CCleaner is still, I think, in the works, but I actually did those, and so we'll have to see what happens, but I have taken that first jump. So thank you once again, gentlemen, but let me call on Gary, Mr. Gary in the background here, who's been very quiet this evening, because he doesn't have a smartphone or an Android or an iPhone, and he says he's learning, but he doesn't have much he can say because he doesn't have one. But he does have a comment, so I'm looking forward to what he's going to say. KC2RMO, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And, yeah, I may be without the benefit of a smartphone for right now anyway. But I was listening to the conversation, and I go back a long way with multiple platforms. I was a Mac user back with System 6 even, and of the five machines we have here, two are Macs. Currently I'm running a really industrial strength HP high performance pavilion, so it's like that. It's nice. It's the only Windows machine I think I've ever really liked. But the thing is the point I was making is not the diversity of the operating systems here. But somebody made that comment early on in the conversation, and that was practice safe computing. If you embrace the concept that cell phone or that smartphone is really a computer, and you are using it in one capacity to make a phone call, but you're also surfing the web with it, you're doing all the functionality that you do with a computer on the web, then you should be taking the same safeguards that you do with a computer on the web. You should recognize it as such. And I think if you're doing that, if you're just using good common computer sense with your smartphone, you're probably gonna, yes, all those, the antivirus and the malware cleanups and all that, they're definitely worth pursuing. But you're probably going to have less need for them if you do that. So I figured I'd just throw my 2 cents worth in, and there they are. So we'll so it's that, and we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary, so much for your comments. And before we all know it, you'll have that smartphone. But Steve actually put a link in the text box for the cleaner article, you know, so you may all want to pick up on that and just read that as well. Since we've been going a long time this evening, we've been talking about a lot of different topics. I want to throw it out there to anyone listening or anybody who has a smartphone, Android or iPhone, that has any comments right now about Echolink, because that is what some of us got this for. Are there any comments how to use, you know, the microphone on it, how to adjust that, the volume control, anything you have with a comment about Echolink? And then we'll move into some comments that I actually would like to hear comments about, Bluetooth and earbuds and things like that. So anything about Echolink that you have a question about or a comment, and that includes our experts out there. Anything that you think we all should know about Echolink to make us better Echolink users. With that, I'll throw it out there to everyone. Just come aboard with your comment or your question.
Six, Victor.
All right, six, Victor. I was really wondering why others weren't coming aboard, because that's what a lot of our stations got their smartphones for, was to install Echolink. So I thought maybe they'd have some questions. What's your comment this evening?
Well, I think one of the things that I would mention here for the experts, or at least to pose, Kathy, KY6V, although I found it, it might be advantageous for our listeners to know where you go into an Android or iPhone to change your audio level on Echolink. And that's very important, because it gets a little hairy. The second question you might pose of Doug, and this was a question that he had asked early on, how do you reduce or mute the incoming audio on Echolink on an Android? Maybe Steve can touch on this. It seems to me that I recall that Doug's comment, and ask him about this, Kathy, is that he could reduce it down to a minimal level, but he could not turn it off. How do you mute the audio on incoming Android-applicated Echolink? Kathy, KY6V, over.
All right, thank you so much, KY6V. Let me first of all throw it over to you, Doug, and see if you have any comments. Then we'll throw it around to our experts. But I will say that if you haven't gone into the Echolink.org and looked at under questions and answers, I think it has the different systems, the iPhone and the Android. There are questions and answers there, so make sure you check that out if you're looking to find some quick answers. So, Doug, do you have any comments here?
Thank you. Fort Myers here again. My preliminary research started with the noise that this Android makes when you turn it on and off, and how to get rid of that noise. So I go to sounds and settings, and I don't see anything. So I do internet research, and I find the only way to mute the noise of the Android going completely off and then completely back on, that crescendo Android noise, is to turn the volume off first. Turn the volume off, and now, of course, then you got to remember to turn it back on, or you don't hear your phone calls. And every single sound level, every single kind, has a different sound setting, and I have not figured them all out. Messages, a text has a different ring, an answering machine has a different ring, a telephone has a da-da-da, now with Echolink, once you start the program, you can only turn the volume way down, And the I have found that if you turn your volume off first and then start echoing, then you can have, why do you ever want your volume down? Well, maybe you're on the phone and you don't want to have to search for a new proxy, so you want to mute your echo link. So I haven't found a good way to do it except to mute it to begin with. But then once you turn the volume up, you can't turn it back down all the way completely. So how do you mute echo link? And is there a way to turn off that silly sound without turning up the volume all the way down on the start and stop sound for Android? Just little things that bug me. KA0GYF. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, thank you, Doug. Those were some great questions. And thinking of my phone and all the phones I've ever had, I always reduce my volume way down unless I really want it up, so I don't hear some of those noises. So I haven't tried it with Echo Link, so I'll have to do something like that. Steve, you have an answer or any comments on what Doug has been talking about, and maybe you can help the rest of us. So KF5VH, thank you so much for being here tonight and taking the time. And you've had some great comments for us. But how about another a great answer for us?
Okay, Kathy. Well, I've made some notes here. You mentioned that you were questioning using Echo Link and Bluetooth. I tried that one time earlier. It didn't work right out of the box, and I've never gone back to it. But so far, I haven't been able to use Echo Link in a phone and use a Bluetooth headset. But I haven't tried very hard. When I'm using Echo Link on my phone, most of the time I'm on a phone dedicated to Echo Link and I don't get calls or anything else. If I understand right, you just don't want to hear Echo Link for a little bit. Just disconnect from the session that you're in. You select a station, you connect, the server talks to you. If you want to mute it for a little while, just disconnect from South Cars, and it won't make any noise. Along with that, make sure you mark Echo Link as a favorite, so you don't have to go through the list all the time. I'm sorry. Make South Cars a favorite. Look up South Cars once. When you bring it up, say, this is one of my favorites. The question is right there on the screen in front of you. The next time you start the phone and then start Echo Link, you can tap the Favorites button in the top row, and Echo Link will be there and you can touch it directly. One other little tidbit, Echo Link allows you to use the camera button if you have a camera button as a push to talk. Echo Link also allows you to leave the screen on all the time or let the normal timer make the screen go dark. If the screen goes dark because of the timer, then the camera push-to-talk button doesn't work. I hope somewhere in there, Kathy, something was useful. KF5VH.
It was, Steve, although it even seems very complicated for me right now, but I'm a brand new user. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Paul, see if you have any comments. Even though Doug and I and George have Androids, we don't have the iPhone. Maybe you'd like to make some comments on what Doug was saying about and with Echo Link. N4FT, any response here?
Kathy, hold me out for one round. I'm going to help to load the grandkids into the car. They're getting ready to head home to Mom and Dad. So catch up with me on the next go-around, and I should have something to say. Back to you, N4FTD.
All right, super, Paul. I was hearing Brandon there in the background a little earlier, so he sounds like a very active little boy. I'll catch you up on the next round. So do I have any comments? Well, let me throw it to you first of all, Doug, and see if that helped, if Doug's answer helped. And then I'm going to throw it back around and see if there's any other comments about Echo Link itself or any what's been talked about so far. So a GYF, did that help answer your question?
I wasn't in front of the computer. I don't know who did that. Yeah, you know, I especially like that feature, and I left it on where Echo Link in the when you're looking at the South Cars menu, it stays the display stays on. And I found if I want to have a choice other than that and have the display go out, which of course uses the most battery, that display, and then I just switch to the text box tab, and the display goes out. And I did find that option to undo that in the Echolink settings. It's all real interesting stuff. And I found my router is set for my this Dash L walkie-talkie simplex link I'm using. So I'm always going through a proxy, and I find that the search for the proxy can sometimes be rather long, and it's easier to drop the program and restart with the proxy search. And so that's why one reason. And so if I'm connected to South Cars, the proxy seems to stay up a little longer. And if I disconnect from South Cars and let my link idle, completely idle, then it averages 10 minutes. I only stay with the proxy server 10 minutes unless I'm connected. And then so far my record is 3 hours. And I know every proxy server is created differently, and some will give you 24 hours, and some will only give you an hour, and of course no Dash L's, no Dash R's. Some of these answers are going to come with all the hours I'm pouring at this Android. Something's bound to soak in, and things are soaking in. And helping George come up, KW4LCB, come up online with his Android is helping all of us as well, because we're laying in the foundation, and I'm glad I don't have to pave the highway. People like Steve have already done that. Thank you, Steve. KA0GYF, Kathy.
Well, thank you, Doug, and I'm glad that you're having so much fun with it. I was having a great deal of fun with it until I did something with this voicemail that I can't seem to bring up, and it was starting to irritate me today, but it's probably a very easy fix. And like I said, I have my voice muted most of the time so that I'm not getting calls in when I don't need them, and hearing the text messages come in, but sometimes I'll bring it up. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's a learning curve, just like Windows 8 for everyone. It's something new, something a little more detailed than what I've had in the past. But I've been enjoying it, and I've enjoyed our comments this evening as well. So let me throw it out there once again to anyone connected that may have a question of either Paul, it seems to be away for just a few moments, but maybe of Steve. You have any comments of Echolink? You have any comments and anything that you have questions about? We're going to probably end tonight by talking about just a few things, what you need to look for, because we're going to convince Gary to get a smartphone, what he needs to look for. So, any comments, any questions out there, or anyone that just wants to come aboard and say hi to us this evening? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. This is the TIN open forum, and we're discussing smartphones and Androids. So any check-ins at this point, please come aboard.
RMO.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
6, Victor.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Gary. Have we convinced you yet to look into those smartphones? We're actually going to go into it before we close on maybe just thinking on the different types of smartphones, what you need to look for as far as plans. And now Doug is month to month. He has no contract. Not sure about George. Mine is a contract, but my phone was absolutely free. And my contract is very minimal. I have very low minutes because I don't call too many people. So maybe we'll go through that. Mr. RMO, thanks for being my backup here this evening. And hopefully you didn't hear too much of that hum as you usually do. What's your comments this evening?
Well, first of all, very, very little hum. Sounded just fine. The comments, well, it's I think, first of all, if we're going to, yeah, I'm probably going to go with a Galaxy, because Steph has that Galaxy. She loves it. I'm kind of familiar with it. At least I've seen it. And it seems like a really good phone. Of course, there's no Galaxy like a 64 Galaxy 500 with a 390, I think. But that just seems like a great phone, you know, really does. But I had kind of a question, and I don't know if anybody knows this, but it was kind of crossing my mind a couple of times. This is an Echo Link related question. And are there any, or does anybody know if there are any plugins for Echo Link? You know, for instance, if you wanted to add audio compression to your signal, or if you wanted to, you know, add some DSP to the received audio on Echo Link. Do you have that option? I mean, that you can do plugins for Echo Link. I've often wondered that, so I figured I'd throw that one out there for what it was worth. But yeah, I think we're going with the Galaxy. I think probably be a two Galaxy family over here. So this is KC2RMO. We're sending it back to the net.
Well, thank you, Gary, so much. The 64 Galaxy is probably going to have to wait for a little while. It's probably more expensive than the Galaxy phone. And actually, with Stephanie having it, you can get that family share plan. I only am the only one in the household that has the Android, but if you go to a family plan, and sometimes it's cheaper. And Paul, who was putting his grandson in the car to go back to his parents, I think actually his whole family is part of that plan, but they're on iPhones. But, you know, I think it's a lot cheaper when you share a plan. So it looks like you're the only one here, Steve, that may be able to answer this for Gary. And so until Paul comes back, do you have any answer for Gary? He's asking about plugins. And let's see what you have for us, and then I'll make a call out there to Paul and see if he's back.
Well, if we're getting a 64 Galaxy with a 390, we better splurge for the supercharger. I am unaware of any plugins at the software level to do that. If you could get the Bluetooth linked to the application, then I suppose you could do external modification to the audio before you fed it to the application. But that's the only thing I can think of. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. I'm going to throw it back to you, Gary. I keep seeing recheck here in all these boxes, so I don't know if it's a recheck before you checked in or you have a recheck now, but did that help answer your question?
Thanks, Kathy. Yes, it did. It's because I'm getting old and feeble-minded. I wanted to pass something else along that was plan-wise that I thought was a terrific deal, and this is what we did for Seth, and I'll get to that in just a moment. As far as the audio goes, that's pretty much what I figured it was like right now. I certainly didn't see any plugins, you know, any software plugins for it. I just was kind of wondering. My audio, I go through a mixing board. Actually, I have the Behringer microphone going through the mixer, and that feeds the computer. And problem is the audio compressors are so darned expensive. Yeah. Trying to find a cheap one that I can put in the chain here. You know, it sounds great, but we'll carry on. We're just gonna see what we can do. But the plan that I ended up with when I got Steph that phone for Christmas, because we didn't want to get a contract phone either. And believe it or not, Walmart had the best deal around. She gets something like 100 minutes of phone and unlimited data on this Galaxy, and this is through T-Mobile, and she gets that for $40 a month, and I don't think you could beat that. I looked around for quite a while to try to find a better deal, and I couldn't find anything like that, so... figured I'd pass that along for what it was worth. We'll turn it back to that. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary. Actually, I think Doug has T-Mobile, and I think his is $30 a month, so he may have beat your deal, but maybe he'll come aboard and share that. So let me make a call just for a moment out to N4FTD and see if he's in from outdoors so that we can call on him once again for his input. N4FTD, did you get Brandon in the car and on his way?
Yeah, I sure did, Kathy. I can't believe how tricky it's been for the last couple of hours trying to multitask between two grandkids, and but it worked out, and Grandma took them home. This was date night for Mom and Dad, and we offer usually a Thursday night to take care of the kids right into the evening from having them all day. So it's been a long day, but they're on their way home with Grandma, and yes, I'm back here. It's relatively quiet in this house now. Go ahead, Kathy.
All right, thank you so much, Paul. And I was listening to him in the background, and he was rather vocal. I think I remember when he was very, very little. So he's got to be getting close, or if not, to head to kindergarten in the fall. So, but he was vocal, you know, and I think probably a supercharged young man. But we were actually talking about Echolink. We were talking about plugins and a little bit with the Bluetooth, and that's some things I actually want to go back into. But Gary, KC2RMO, said he bought his lovely wife a Galaxy smartphone Christmas time as a gift, and he got it at Walmart, a plan of $40. And I told him that he thought that was a real good deal. And I told him that Doug actually, I think, got one without a plan. We're in the area 30. And I guess he said $31.62. So, and mine actually won't be much higher than that. Maybe a little bit, but not much. And I have the 1,000 minutes text. And I have, I think it's about 250 minutes talk, because I don't do much talking. And something with weekend minutes and the data, of course. So thanks for coming back, Paul, and we'll actually throw it to your direction very soon. KW4LCB, your comment or your question, and thanks for being here tonight. And I liked your comment about the kitty cat. That I would really like to see a picture of this kitty cat. They're always lovely when they're that little. So KW4LCB, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it when it learns to fly. A little rascal there. But, I just picked up this Galaxy Express there, and it says it's the version 4.04. And I don't know what the 04 is all about. I guess it's updated there, and so far, you know, we're navigating, and what I did install Echolink earlier, but since then I uninstalled it, and once I get into my router and get it all set back up, we'll probably download it again there, for the simple reason that we can't hit AT&T's Wi-Fi system from the house. So more to come. There was one other question that I had, but it slipped my mind, so I'll relinquish my time there to let you carry on. KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
All right, thank you so much, George. It seems the older we get, our attention span maybe, or what we want to say, goes by the wayside. It happens to the best of us, to all of us, in fact. But it looks like we've all been having the problems with the computers and the routers and issues with those, and they are very, very stressful. And now we have the phones. So never a dull moment. Keeps us young, George. Just keeps every day more interesting. So with that, I'm going to call on you, Six Victor, and hopefully you didn't forget your question. And maybe in the meantime, George, you'll remember what you wanted to ask. So KY6D, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Yeah, it's been so long I really lost the question I was going to ask, but KY6V here. Gary, there's an English gentleman that has been very much in publication here through the years on apps for Echolink. Now, I can't really tell you that there's been any apps for compression and mixer operation and that kind of thing. I'll try and research the URL site for you and pass that on to you. The other thing is that I think you mentioned T-Mobile. I've always had some pretty good success with TracFone. You may want to look at that and compare the differences in the positives and the negatives. Let's see, what else did I want to mention here? Oh, I got your email, Doug, on just came in, and I will take a look at that here very shortly. Kathy, I want to tell you this has been one excellent session this evening. I've appreciated it very much, and I hope that everybody else has too. It's a subject that's new to all of us, and the more we can talk about it, the smarter we'll get. Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, thank you, Gordon, and George and Gary for coming aboard here as we start to wind down. Yeah, it's a lot of information for one evening and for one session, and hopefully we've gone through quite a bit, but yeah, I still have those questions of Steve and Paul, and if we don't have the correct answer, we'll definitely send them your direction, and we know that you can answer them for us. So before I go on into this final part that Paul actually sent some comments about, our experts out there, either Paul or Steve, do you have any comments that you'd like to make? Any questions you have of us or any comments, and we sure appreciate you taking your time this evening. So any comments from either of you before we move on?
FTD.
All right, it looks like I have both of you coming aboard, so I'm going to start with you and for FTD. Once again, thank you for being here tonight, and hopefully we can get this published. This will be a grand session to get published in one of those memorable nets. So N4FTD, what are your comments here?
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I think it's more questions. I'm just going through my unchecked off items here. I wanted to comment on Steve's comment earlier. I guess it is a comment instead of a question. You mentioned using Dropbox for your pictures. I haven't done that yet, although I'm aware of its capability. The iPhone, Macintosh ecosystem, I guess, has got a pretty good system for photos moving directly from the iPhone to a Mac, or even a PC as far as that goes, through the cloud. But, of course, Dropbox is set up to do a very similar thing, and it may even be more versatile in terms of the fact that those pictures can be accessed from more devices via Dropbox. So I need to look into that. I haven't jumped into those waters yet, but thanks for bringing that up, Steve. And I had a question for you, Kathy, or really a request. If you could send me whatever information you have or you can get up, you can dig up on the teacher discount for Florida. I've had a hard time finding information that has gotten the job done as far as the discount as a parochial school teacher. I know the public school teachers seem to have no trouble with that, but I believe I'm eligible, and yet I haven't been able to get the information that, you know, it has worked. So if you've got any information on that, that'd be great. Just looking through, and I don't see anything else that's unchecked on my list, so I think that's it for me in terms of questions or comments at this point. I will say that I'm looking at my double-size Echolink screen on an iPad. That's quite an interesting experience also. I made an attempt, but it didn't work because there was not enough power on the USB bus on an iPad to plug in my powered USB microphone. I was going to try that with the Echo test, but it didn't work. So, and I can't find, it's been a while since I've played with it, I cannot find the audio gain control for transmitting. I see it for receiving, but I can't find it to transmit. So if anybody wants to remind me of where that is, I think it's the same on an iPhone and an iPad, but I don't remember where it is. So with that, back to you, Kathy. This is N4FTD.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. And actually, your school provides the teachers and the students with excellent equipment as far as computers, where probably that doesn't happen in my county. But actually, through Florida, it may just be Verizon, but they offer, as a teacher, discounts for the phone service, for the accessories, you know, and it helps monthly. But also through my school district, and yours may be the same, but maybe not, we have, we can get software, the new programs, actually. I just purchased the Office 2013, haven't put it on the machines, but the Windows 7, Windows 8 Office cost $21. It has to be delivered to the school, but I think we've tried it on several machines, and there's no license on it, so, you know, that's another option. But, you know, if you're ever looking for that and you care to just talk to me or send me an email. I'd be happy to get you any of that. But I'll look into that, a teacher discount as well, because we need just as much as we can get. And I think you agree with that. So with that, I'm going to call on VH to see what some of his comments are. And we sure appreciate both of you being here tonight. It's been some valuable information for all of us. So with that, KF5VH, please come aboard.
Thank you, Kathy. I just wanted to say at some point when everyone was learning how to use desktop computers, someone told you, don't worry about what buttons you press. You can't actually break the computer. You might mess it up, you might have to reload the software, but you can't physically break it. Same thing is true with the smartphones. The worst thing that you can do is mess up the software where you'll have to do a factory reset on the phone and reload your apps. So get in there and experiment. Have some fun. And Kathy, I've enjoyed it tonight. Maybe we can do it again sometime. And thanks to everyone on board tonight for being with us. Back to you, Kathy. K6SUN on the group, KF5VH.
Well, Steve, we sure have appreciated you being here tonight. Some great input from you, and I know that you're probably a whiz with computers and technology, and, you know, we all run into those problems. We actually had an XP machine that we decided to try to install Windows 7 over the top of, and it's taken out a lot of our drivers, and we've really been struggling with that, and I'm not sure what exactly happened, but somehow it didn't download things. So we have those problems every day with computers. George has had them, I'm sure Gary has, Doug has. We've all had problems with computers or phones, and I agree with you. Get in there and just experiment, because that store is just a little distance away, and they can help reset it, and they can bring everything back in. And it's just having fun working with it. But let me just throw out some questions as a final, because we've been doing this for a very long time. and I don't want to keep you too much longer. But Paul had some comments about Bluetooth and earbuds and mics and keyboards, other devices on this. He also wanted to talk a little bit about the cloud. You know, I haven't done much with the cloud. It's on my Windows 8. It's on the Android right now. I don't put anything up in the cloud. But Android versus iPhone, if you're looking for something to buy, what's the best way to go? What's the best service? T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, TracFone. What is the best plan? So let me throw it to you two fine gentlemen, and that's going to be pretty much what I have, unless there's anything else anyone else wants to talk about. So I'll start with you, Paul, and see if you can just give us an overview of all those topics and before I let you go. And I saw that you connected with your either your cell phone or your computer, because all I saw was N4FTD. So N4FTD, hopefully you're still there. Come aboard.
Yeah, I'm still here, Kathy. That was my iPad. I'm just playing around in the background here. Fooling around with the iPad and trying to make it connect to the system. I'm looking for a place on my desk to put it down. I guess the question was mine, or the comment was mine, and I don't remember what your very first item on the list was, and as you said, it came from me. So I apologize if I can't remember the first thing, but you asked about the cloud. I started a list earlier. I was mentioning things that I do with my phone that it, you know, things that helps me to do. I left off with GPS, and the rest of the list, just let me run down real quick. And in here, you'll see some cloud-based items. This one's not one of the cloud-based items, but you know, weather forecasting. I use my phone as a contact manager, and that's definitely a cloud-based experience because I'm pulling things down from the Google Cloud, if you will, where I keep all my contacts, you know, email and other things. I use my phone as a data manager in tandem with my computer and my iPad with an app called Evernote. I recommend everyone check out Evernote. Just Google it. It's a free app that you can download if you want the premium cloud-based storage that they offer. It's $45 a year. I use it for everything. I scan documents, take pictures of documents. You can capture audio. You can take pictures. You can capture video. You can drag in PDFs from your computer, and they show up on your phone. And they've got Android and iPhone versions of Evernote, as well as Mac and PC versions. I mean, it just stores any kind of document you can imagine, and then populates those documents to all of the devices you own that you choose to tie in with the app. So I'm a big user of cloud-based applications and services. I just decided a long time ago to wade in little by little and keep adding more. And it sure makes life a lot easier when you can pick up any device, even some devices that other people own, and borrow them for a minute and log in via web interfaces and get to your information. Saved my bacon many times. As I said, taking pictures of documents and putting them into the cloud, and then being able to access them later at home from the computer, printing them out and things like that. I like to listen to podcasts, and that brings in the Bluetooth headphones. Anybody that knows me knows that I spend my time cutting the grass with headphones on my head. I actually wear two sets of headphones. One is an old pair with the wire cut off to block out the sound of the lawnmower. Let me buy a nickel here. But underneath that is my earbuds that are Bluetooth wireless earbuds hooked to the iPhone in my pocket inside a plastic bag when I'm cutting the grass or working in the yard or painting or whatever I'm doing. It sure makes the time go by a lot faster. I listen to a lot of EchoLink or SouthCars net that way after the fact via the podcast recording. You know, and it just, like I say, it makes the time go a lot faster when you're doing manual labor. All of my favorite radio stations, and I'm talking about AM and FM broadcast stations, broadcast over the internet, and I typically listen to them over the internet on my iPhone. So, and again, sometimes while I'm cutting the grass. So Skype, access to Dropbox that Steve already mentioned, using your phone as a scanner. How about using your phone as a remote control for a $100 box called an Apple TV that you can hook to your HD TV and you can project, at least on an iPhone. I don't know if Android will do this. Whatever's on the iPhone screen can be projected on my 37-inch high-definition TV via this little box using Wi-Fi. So just on and on it goes. Kindle reader, compass, flashlight, how about a level, access to Netflix, real-time traffic conditions, there's an app for that. You can always listen to music on your phone. How about a TV guide? How about Google Voice access? Library ebooks. My local newspaper has an app. YouTube, obviously internet access, texting, and of course at the bottom of the list is good old telephone service. So I guess I'm pretty much a proponent of smartphones and all that they can do, and that's just a short list of what they actually can do. Best plan, I think it depends on where you live and who's got the best coverage. That's what I'd start with. And then who's got the best price. Combination of those two. That'd be my advice. That's enough for me, Kathy. Back to you from N4FTD. I've enjoyed it tonight, too.
Well, Paul, N4FTD, that was a lot for you to tell us. I never thought of Netflix. That's something probably my children at school would like, is to watch movies on their cell phone. But a lot of your information is very interesting. You know, I'm not sure if someone else will have a question about the cloud, but that is something I have not gotten involved into. But I do have, I'm going to call on you, Steve, first of all, and see what your comments are. I am interested in the Bluetooth. My son has a smartphone and he has a Bluetooth because he says it's easier as he's driving. He drives a oil tanker, and so I've never thought of the Bluetooth. I've watched people as they're walking through the stores talking, and they've got this thing in their ear. So that may be something I look at, into, but I don't take my cell phone in the store as I'm in there. But who knows? That may be something I'm interested in. But let me call on you, Steve, first of all. I have two other stations that have comments out here, and just please stand by. But KF5VH, Steve, once again, thanks so much for being here. I think you have a great session and talking to us about keeping our computers up to date and working as well. So come aboard and make your final comments.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, everybody on board. In terms of what plan to get, it's sort of like which repeater is best to use on 2 meters. The best repeater to use typically is the one that you can get coverage on. So it doesn't matter what the phone is like or what the features are. If you aren't connected to the network, smartphone doesn't do a whole lot. As far as applications, I heard a lot of them here just a minute ago, but the ones I didn't hear are Bump. Bump is a great thing. You and a friend are together and you want to exchange a picture or a contact. You can bump your hands together with your phone and move data back and forth between the phones. Check that one out. When you take a picture, everyone knows you can take a picture, but smartphones can take a panoramic picture. You just move the phone as you take the picture and it stitches the pictures together. I use it for converting units, area, weights, and measures. If I want to know how many inches there are in a light year, I have an app that tells me that. Certainly you can get at all sorts of news services. You can monitor your home security system. I have a camera system at the house, and I can look at the cameras from my phone. A new one that I just added is Keyring. Do you have a lot of cards in your wallet or in your purse? You take them out at the store and they swipe it and you get a discount. Yeah, I know they're stealing your information, but if you carry the cards anyway and you use them, there's an application called Keyring. And using the camera, you can scan the barcode. It holds them all in the phone, and when they want to scan your card, you just bring up Keyring and show it to them, and the display has the barcode on it, and they just scan your phone. Sort of neat. You know, Kathy, I think that's enough. But certainly, there's an app out there for everything nowadays, and it's just like toys. You go out there in the Play Store, and you look around and find things, and they're free, or some of them are free. Try them, and if you like them, keep them, and if you don't, just take them back off your phone. Good night, everybody. From Lafayette, Louisiana, this is KF5VH.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. That's quite some interesting apps you were talking about, and you must have quite a few on your phone, but some of those are very interesting to check out. And I think the more that Doug and George and myself and Gary eventually get involved in this, well, we may bring up more of these. But right now we're in the learning process, and I'm actually going to want to learn that GPS a little bit to have some visitors coming to my area soon. And I actually want to see if I can get directions to come up and actually have it talk to me. So thank you so much, Steve, for being with us this evening, and you, Paul, as well. If you can remain listening, we have two other stations that have either comments or questions, and maybe you can answer those for them. Let me pick up George, first of all, KW4LCB. He had one more comment to make, and let's see if what his comment is tonight. So KW4LCB. Please come aboard.
KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo. Well, first of all, Kathy, let me thank you and everyone that has participated tonight. Surely enjoyed it. Maybe we can do this again sometime. But the comment I was making, is when you're out there shopping, for a phone and for a carrier, you know, there's a bunch of deals out there, and I know I checked with Verizon, and Verizon has a offer if you are retired. They'll give you there's an offer that can be had, and I didn't go with Verizon, but when I talked with AT&T, I told them, hey, Verizon's got this deal that they'll allow me to have now. Can you meet that, or can you do something better? And, you know, just like buying a car there, will you take this? So by all means, you know, check with all the carriers and find out what they have to offer, and don't hesitate to use one against the other to get the best bang for your buck. That's all I had to say, and with that we'll say thank you. Totally have enjoyed it, have recorded it, and I guarantee you I will be going back to it and referring to the different comments and apps that was mentioned. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to Net Control.
Well, George, thank you so much for those comments and the very nice comments. And we'll tell you, when I went into Verizon, it was actually to get a case for my other phone. It was supposed to be sent to another location and never arrived. So I was going in there to get the case. And they said, have you ever thought of a smartphone? And I said, Yes, but I don't like the cost of it. I don't like the charges. And so that's when they came up with the different deals. And there were other people in there. One was T-Mobile. He said he actually keeps getting dropped off of his. He had so many phones, 5 phones, I think. Kept getting dropped off, and he said, I'm on this plan, you know, what can happen? So you can go into each of the dealers like you did with AT&T, just like you go into a drugstore and you say, this place is offering this deal. Will you match that? And sometimes they will. So you go with the best deal. You go with what suits your pocket as far as cost and what you want. You just don't want to get more than you need, and that's what I did with my first one. I don't think it's more than I need, and I think it will suit its purpose, and who knows what the future holds for all of us. So thank you, George, for coming aboard, being here tonight, recording especially, and your input. So the final station I have on my list is KY6B. What are your comments this evening, Gordon?
Hey, thanks, Kathy. KY6B, well, this is pointed towards Paul, and probably I would ask you, Steve, to make any follow-on comments. But I'm a type of guy that's very pessimistic about using the cloud for security reasons, NSA, and, you know, all of the rest of the gibberish that's going on today about where they're peeking their nose in where they shouldn't. I'm a guy that just does not want to use his credit card on the internet, and I don't care if you're on a secure system or not. You never know what the person is going to do on the other end that can retrieve that security type information and do with it what they will. I just don't buy anything on the internet. I've just got this great big problem with this cloud in the sky, which is not in the sky, it's just one massive computer, you know, located somewhere. And let all my personal information and my communication and everything else go through it. How do you feel about that, Paul? Apparently you're using it. Apparently you're comfortable. Why am I wrong? Over.
This is N4FTD. I wouldn't say that you are wrong, Gordon. I think it's, to each his own in that respect. It's kind of like, you know, which investment strategy should I use? Well, it depends on your risk tolerance and a few other things like how old are you and, you know, what kind of a horizon do you have until you need to start taking that money back out again. But I think it's the same thing with using cloud services via the internet, that if your risk tolerance is low, you probably shouldn't do that. You know, because it's going to make you uncomfortable, and even though you're going to get some benefit, the cost is too high. You know, it's a cost-benefit analysis kind of a situation, in my estimation. I can remember when I first waded into using via my bank, which is an online/telephone-based bank in Wisconsin. When I first started using online bill paying and you know, things like that, I did, I think, one vendor. And for several months, just waiting for the first problem to come up. And when it didn't, after 3 or 4 months, then I added a second and paid my bills to that vendor for a few months, and then a third. You know, it probably took me a year before I really went full guns, and there's still some things they don't do that way because the vendors, their systems are too clunky, so it's easier just to write a check and stick it in the mail. But, you know, I try to automate as much as I can, and and I use the cloud to do that. And that's just, you know, I'm talking financial stuff, I'm talking keeping track of information that I need, file management, you know, from one place to another, one computer device to another, using cloud services, and on it goes. But I didn't jump in both feet from the beginning, and I took it a little at a time. But as far as I'm concerned, a person who's not comfortable with all of that shouldn't do it, shouldn't feel compelled to do it, even if it is the way of the future. So what, you know? So I think you're just fine the way you are, as I think I am, you know? And who's got more exposure? Probably me. So far, so good, knock on wood. back to the net from N4FTD.
Well, thank you for that, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't have the answer to that. I'm coming up very guarded. Steve, you've been in this business for a long time. There's just too many hackers. There's just too many things that can go awry. And now you got the government looking over your shoulder. Any comments, Steve? Over.
Yeah, I see it. Let's see if I can try to be concise here. First of all, any three-letter government agency can get the information if they really, really want it. So I don't really concern myself too much about that. Whether you put it in the cloud or not, they can access it. And that, so the thing is to be comfortable with the rest of the risk. So I do that a couple ways. Number one, I believe in LifeLock. And I have it, and that's constantly watching to help protect me. And if something goes awry, there's some funding there to help me undo the damage. It's like buying car insurance or homeowner's insurance. The other thing I do, though, for buying things, there's a credit card company. It's the one that starts with the letter D as in Delta. They have something called Secure Online Numbers. So when I buy something on the web, I use the Discover card, but for every vendor, I get online and I say, give me a new number, and the system generates me a brand new credit card number. And I give them the new credit card number and the new CCV, and it has the same expiration date. And the trick of this new number is it can only be used by the first vendor. So if I buy something from Texas Towers, that number is only good for buying things from Texas Towers. If somebody steals that number and tries to buy something from Best Buy, the number won't work. And that's how I sleep at night. KY6V, KF5VH.
Yeah, good comment. I'll have to look into that. Okay, well, I don't want to propose here that I'm pessimistic, but I'll tell you what. I wear suspenders, a belt, and I carry a 347. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, so much. Thank you, everyone, for the session this evening. I think it's been very rewarding for all of us newbies. And, I think about what you're talking about is actually, as I was coming home from the store and station or Wi-Fi I could connect to, I saw one of them that actually said FBI surveillance van. And I don't know if it was a big joke out there or if there was actually something like that just down the road. But you never know what's out there. You have to watch your back. So whatever you feel comfortable with, that is what you do. So, as final check-ins this evening, we've had quite a few of them. We've had a good session, but I do want to close this evening. But before I do, I want to give anyone a chance to come aboard and make any final comments. And then I want to actually tell you about the weekend schedule that's coming up very soon, by the way. So, any final comments this evening from any of our experts or any stations connected? Because I don't want to miss anyone tonight. And good night, Doug. Thanks for being here. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some final check-ins for the TIN net on our Thursday evening.
RMO with just a quick comment.
FTD, the same thing.
All right, I have two final check-ins this evening. I have RMO and I have N4FTD. So let me start with you. First of all, Gary, I want to first of all thank you so very much for being my backup. I'm very short notice this evening. I hope that all is well and with you and in your household, and that the weather isn't too bad up there. But we're good down here in the Florida. That tropical storm or depression actually disappeared rather quickly. I think it was yesterday or this morning. So RMO, please come aboard.
We actually had a beautiful day here. It was absolutely great. After 2 weeks of there's nothing more dismal than a cloudy day in Syracuse. There really isn't. And we've had two solid weeks of it. So we actually had sunshine and 77 today. It was a nice day. I just simply wanted to say, and also, of course, you're more than welcome for the backup thing. It's automatic. But I did want to just simply say that I keep hoping, hope against hope, that somebody will steal my identity, okay? Because they're only going to get what they deserve. And with that, we'll say 7-3 to everyone. It's KC2RMO going back to the net.
Gary, why am I not surprised you come up with something like that? But have a great night, you and Stephanie, and a relaxful night, and thanks so much for once again being there. You have a busy weekend this weekend just as well as I do, so hopefully all is well, and hopefully that lovely bride of yours is not too mad that you've been connected this evening, but I know she's working busily in the background doing that reading class. So with that, I'm going to pick up N4FTD. Paul, thank you so very much for taking your time tonight. It's been a long time since we've got you involved in a net, and we so much appreciate it. And hopefully we can get this posted at some point, because I think it will be great for everyone to hear. And for FTD, final comment, thanks so much for also posting the extra course material. Come aboard.
Very good, Kathy. Well, but first let me just say, whoever is doing tonight's recording for podcast purposes, get it to me soon, and I'll try to get it posted right away, too, so people have it. You can talk about it on the weekend at the nets and stuff, the fact that it exists and it's online. So get it to me as soon as possible, and I'll try to get it up there as soon as possible. Always plus or minus the grandkids, and one more day this week before we get our weekend off. So, but certainly over the weekend I can get it up there, if not before. I just wanted to say thanks to everyone, especially to Steve, who is clearly knowledgeable, and Doug, who's certainly diving in with both feet and getting all kinds of insight into the Android operating system. I have a lot of notes here, lots of things that I've learned and ideas that I've gotten for even more uses for the cell phone that I have. And so thanks to everyone. Thanks for coming up with the idea of this net, Kathy, or whoever came up with it. And I think it was a good topic, and that's what brought me out. So, and thanks for asking me to participate. I appreciate it. That's all for me, and everyone have a good evening. This is N4FTD.
Well, thank you, Paul, for being here tonight. I knew way back that you were an Android user. I knew that you were an iPhone user, so we knew that you would be a perfect. Too bad we couldn't hear from Kevin tonight. There's a lot of those probably are experts out in the field, but maybe you couldn't get them aboard. But actually, this was something that I think Doug and George and Gordon and myself thought would be a great topic for the TIN, because so many of us had just purchased the Androids or the smartphones, and we had a lot of questions. So we thought it would be a great discussion. And actually, top of the hour, I hit 3 hours, so it must have been a great conversation. I hope all is well with Sue. and that she's recovered well, and that you're relaxing during the summer, at least a little bit. I'm trying. I have to return rather earlier than I want, but everything is good. So let me drop it here for just a moment. I want to go over the weekend schedule with everyone so that you know what is coming up. And I just want to thank both you, Paul, and Steve for being here for the entire evening and giving us such great input. But let me drop it here for a moment. You know, on Saturday, a couple days from now, we have our usual nets, you know, the usual AM and the Pacific and the Eurasia. But our Global Family Hour will actually be my backup tonight, KC2RMO. He's going to talk about Apollo 11, and you don't want to miss that. That'll be a great session, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On Sunday, I will be the NCS with Gary as my backup, and we're going to talk about July. You know, July's halfway through, you know, so we hope that you can join us for that. But I want to thank everyone once again for being here, being a participant with questions and answers. But I'm going to actually close our session this evening so you can get yourself either relaxed or have a dinner or head to the SAC. But this has been SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website, www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, saying 73, and closing this VOIP session. Thank you, everyone, for your participation and your comments. The net is now closed and returned to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November saying bye-bye for now.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in-hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.